This morning's public reading is taken from 1 Samuel, chapter 2. 1 Samuel, chapter 2. We have temporarily put the Gospel of Luke on the back burner, and we have now redirected our attention to reading from the Old Testament scriptures. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, we're going to be reading in our hearing, verse 27 to the end. 27 to 36. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father, when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, and to offer upon my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, and make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And a man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die both of them. And I shall raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. The key to this passage, everything that came before it and comes after it, is found in verse 29. Notice the blunt, the direct, and the personal accusation by God to this one lone man. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? Secondly, you honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. That was solely directed to Eli. Everything that we've read up until verse 28 of chapter 2, and everything that we just got done reading from verse 30 to the end of chapter 2 and verse 36. The key to understand and to appreciate all that came before and after. That was Eli's sin. Eli's sin. He kicked. You find the same word. I doubt whether it's the same verbiage in Hebrew and Greek. But what was Jesus of Nazareth's response to Paul? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Jesus was goading him convicting him. It's hard for you to kick against. Jesus used the same wording, to kick, to kick. Now, notice verse 27 and 28. Why the rebuke of verse 29? Well, look at the responsibility and the privilege that Eli had by virtue of being born in the tribe of Levi. Let's consider the privilege. And there came a man from a man of God unto Eli, said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And the answer is yes. And did I choose him not of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? Yes. To offer upon mine altar? Yes. To burn incense? Yes. To wear an ephod before me? Yes. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Yes, and yes again. So notice verse 27 and 28. Okay, this now begins to intensify and aggravates verse 29. Eli was not just simply some common schmuck living at that time. He was the high priest. He was a direct descendant of the tribe of Levi, the house there, you know, Moses, Aaron, Levites. A direct descendant. He had the oracles of God. Do you stop and realize that the first five books of Moses was contained inside the Ark of the Covenant, and he was the guardian of that word? And then in verses 29, beloved, what privilege and responsibility that Eli had, he kicked at it. As if it was common. As if it was something plain. Something of no worth and of no value. Almost like saying, you threw it behind your back. So to speak. Verse 30, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Privilege, as well as responsibility. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Wow. Peter's equivalent of that in 1 Peter 5 is, Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be lifted up by the right hand of God Almighty. That's Peter's equivalent to those words, 1 Peter 5. You ever stop and think? Remember Cornelius, the Roman centurion? He was lost as night is long. He's lost. But he's transformed his thinking from polytheism to monotheism. He's become a Jewish proselyte, right? But he's still lost. But when the angel came, what did the angel say? Your good deeds and your almsgiving has come before God as a memorial. Now, that didn't save him, but it did show God was working in this man's heart. He was responding to the light that was still shining through biblical Judaism, though it was cluttered with the teachings and the traditions of man, mind you. God says, those who honor me, I will honor. And I think you have to put that into the blender when you look at the conversion of Cornelius. And those who are dumb enough to despise me, lightly esteemed. So think of all the idiots today going around, transgender this and QG, X, Y, and Z, and all the rainbow stuff in the stores, and all of the transvestite stuff, and the drag queens coming into church and schools. They're not honoring God. They're only honoring a God of their own wicked and twisted imagination, but not the God of heaven and earth. What does the Bible say about them? They're not lightly esteemed in the eyes of heaven. And then notice his punishment. And notice how one man's act can affect future generations. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, in the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. What was the judgment? In the line of Eli, men would be born, but they would die very young. Very young. We find this in verse 33. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from thine altar, those descendants who are going to survive, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die, notice, in the flower of their age. That's what that means. They're not going to have too many senior citizens in the house of Eli from this point forward. And then God verifies it. Now remember, a prophet is someone whose words come true 100% of the time, all the time, right down to the nth degree. And here's a sign that this punishment was going to be solidified. And this shall be a sign, or a token, a pledge unto thee, that shall come upon thy sons Hophni and Phinehas. They were the ones whom Eli honored more than God. In one day they shall both die. And then there was one more little twist to this actual judgment. And it shall come to pass, verse 36, that every one that is left in thine house, the ones who are going to survive and all the men ain't going to live that long, shall come and crouch to him, that Samuel, for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office. Can you please find me a job somewhere in the tabernacle complex system? Can you please give me a part-time job. I'll clean toilets that I may eat a piece of bread. Not five-star cuisine. A morsel of bread. Beloved, how destitute and desperate do you get when a morsel of bread is going to be cherished in your lips? So here we see Eli's judgment and the consequence of his kicking against God. Well, may God bless his word. Amen.